just make sure this works. Today is December 21st, 1999. I'm Jeff Charnley, interviewing Ms. Dorothy Gonzalez, the chairperson of the Michigan State University Board of Trustees. We're here in Bessie Hall, Michigan State University in East Lansing. This interview is part of a project to commemorate Michigan State University's sesquicentennial in the year 2005. Ms. Gonzalez, you can see we're using a tape recorder today. Do you give me permission to tape this interview?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Would you tell me a little bit about your personal educational background? Where did you go to school?
Do you want to start with kindergarten? All
it's up to you entirely.
Well, I was born and raised in San Antonio, so I started kindergarten and grade school in San Antonio. And we came to Michigan when I was about 10 years old. And so grade school was at this little one-room schoolhouse outside of Jasper, Michigan, mm-hmm. Called Reed School. And from there, I went on to Sand Creek High School, mm-hmm. And then on to Siena Heights University in Lenawee County. And from there, I went to Central Michigan to get my master's.
Mm-hmm. Did you take on-campus classes, or
did you do some of the off-campus? I was commuting, yes. Mm-hmm. At that time, I was here at Michigan State working, so. Uh-huh.
When did you finish your master's?
I finished my master's in 1989.
Okay, and in what field was that?
It was in business administration.
Okay. Your professional work experiences, what have you done?
I've done everything from working with school children on recreational settings during the summer to working on the assembly line, trying to put myself through school at Ford Motor Company in Saline, Michigan, working on the midnight shift.
Oh, really?
Trying to make my way through life. Mm-hmm. That's when I knew I needed an education very badly. From there, I came to Michigan State to work. I worked at the Office of Supportive Services. Mm-hmm. And from there, I went to work for the Speaker of the House of Representatives for the legislature. And after that, I went to work with Governor Blanchard when he became governor. And then after that, I transferred over to a permanent position that didn't have to depend on term limits or anything else, mm-hmm. With the Department of Community Health.
Okay. So your Michigan State University experience here, how many years did you work at the university prior?
It was almost 2 years at the time when I was asked to join the speaker's staff.
Okay.
But I've had an interesting history of I've never left Michigan State.
Oh, you have?
Because during the time that I was here, I always served in certain committees, certain work groups, and ever since 1979, I've had a relationship with Michigan State mm-hmm. University. So I feel like I've always been part of the university for the last 20 years.
Your work at the Office of Supportive Services, what were the main things that you did?
What I did was focus on bringing students onto campus who are non-traditional students and not necessarily those students that have a high GPA or whose families have, you know, had the opportunity to go on to higher ed. So with those kinds of students, we have to spend a lot more time giving them support, encouragement, and making them feel that they can be successful here at Michigan State and how to do that.
Mm-hmm. And that office is still in business?
Yes, it still is in business. It mm-hmm. certainly is. And it's grown, and now that we have the technology, it makes it so much easier mm-hmm. to work with these students. But, I mean, the need is still there. We haven't, you know, outgrown the need for trying to provide support services.
Mm-hmm. When you were elected to the, or excuse me, when were you elected to the Board of Trustees?
In 1992.
In 92.
Yes.
Your term
November.
So in that November election,
yes,
in you took office on January 1st.
January 1st. Yes.
January 1st, 1993.
Right.
How did you come to be nominated for the board?
Well, it's a very long, tedious process, and Most of these positions usually go to people who are of different means, or maybe contributors in a large sense to either the political party or the institution, and et cetera. But our party felt that it was time to have an individual who exemplifies all of those things that Michigan State is about. Mm-hmm. You know, my family and myself, you know, I tell people, I says I'm a granddaughter of immigrants, and I'm a daughter of a migrant family. I mean, that's how we ended up coming to Michigan. And we always struggled to try to get ahead, and education was really, you know, the whole crux of my family upbringing, because they realized that with education it would open up opportunities for their children. Mm-hmm. And so knowing the land-grant mission of Michigan State University, it just seemed, it seemed like it was a fit for Dorothy Gonzalez to have the opportunity to run for the MSU board. And I think I surprised everybody when I did win. And I think one of the things that stands out in my mind when I look back at this is the fact that I got more votes in that general election than President Clinton did in Michigan.
So there was some ticket spreading.
Yes, there was. And when I had the opportunity to be at the White House, we were sitting around a table similar to this, just having a conversation with some individuals that he brings in on a regular basis to try to seek advice, and how are things out in the hinterlands, and what am I doing, stuff. And the first thing he said to me is, I want to again shake hands with a woman who got more votes than I did in Michigan. So that always stays with me. It makes me feel really good.
That's great. Did in dealing with the did you campaign at all?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you know, when you run for a trusteeship, you have to run statewide. Mm-hmm. And so I spent almost every night out on the road from the time that I was given the nod at the September convention, the Democratic convention, to go ahead with the election until, you know, until November. It was just, you know, I was on the road every single day.
Mm-hmm. Did you, were you involved in any debates or anything
yes,
like that?
Yes.
With other
with
nominees
other candidates? The other candidates, yes. We had several debates around the state, and then we had about three or four here on campus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that was part of the process.
Yes, it is.
That election, or the partisan politics at that time, do you remember any of the key issues? Did you have a particular platform that you were emphasizing? Or,
One of the issues that, of course, I would always, challenge and debate is the issue of affordable tuition, mm-hmm. and of having an inclusive campus and giving more credence to diversity. And, of course, those and the Open Meetings Act at that time, I wholeheartedly supported, which I think that a lot of the public understood that too, that if we do things in behind closed doors without having public information or scrutiny, then it might tend to lead to some negative decisions. Mm-hmm. And I think that was part of the platform that people supported about me. Number one, that I was a woman, that I happened to be, from a background that knew what it was like to struggle to try to get ahead and put yourself through school. And also the fact that I, believe in having things more open when decisions come around, such as hiring a president. I think that was one of the big factors in my, getting elected.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe I was just lucky, I don't know.
What do you see just in terms of your overall special strengths as a board member? What, now that you're almost, 8 years?
Yes.
Almost?
Yes, January 1. See ya. I think some of the strengths that I bring is that I try to have respect for people. The way that I was raised and within our culture, it's more of a collective versus an individualistic mm-hmm. approach that you see quite a bit with, today's dominant society that thinks, this rugged individualism and not necessarily sharing or being inclusive and having a cooperative manner in the way that we discuss things and settle things. And I've never believed in being combative. I guess maybe that's part of my social work too. Mm-hmm. But at home, we were always taught to be very respectful, to listen to one another, definitely obey your parents, and that everybody is worthy. And the fact that my parents and my grandmother, and still tells me to this day, she says, you're not there as an individual, you're representing your family. Mm-hmm. And the Gonzalez name, is very special to all of us, so you always have to think very carefully when you say and do things, because it's not just a reflection on you, it's in a reflection on all of us. Mm-hmm. And that we're all very proud that you're there, but carry yourself with a lot of dignity. We don't want to read about you in the papers in any negative way. Mm-hmm. So kind of that cooperativeness and trying to speak to individuals in a one-to-one, and if I have disagreements with anyone, I never do it out in public or during a board meeting. I will mm-hmm. talk to that individual quietly, maybe some times behind the scenes, and try to just work it through. And if it doesn't work, then I just kind of leave it alone and maybe come back to it later. But I think it's with a lot of diplomacy and respect that I've been brought up with that has given me that those tools mm-hmm. to manage through the maze at times.
What in your educational background or family upbringing, is there anything that maybe you can think of that best prepared you for your role as on the Board of Trustees? Anything that stands out?
Again, I think I would have to refer back from the strengths of my family.
Okay.
And my role models were always women. I mean, number one, my grandmother, who's 96 years old today.
Is she still living?
Yes, she is. Mm-hmm. And has always, said to us that, that self-respect and dignity was utmost that a person could bring, forth about themselves. And she says, when you do things that are negative or not positive, she says, people will remember that forever mm-hmm. versus something, she says, just those kinds of things. And she says strength comes in many different ways, shapes, and sizes. And sometimes I sit back and I reflect on that, and I said, now I know what she means about those things. Mm-hmm. And also, I guess being in the human services field, I tend to work a lot with people and in human behavior and studied human behavior during going to school and just working around other individuals when you're trying to work your way through the maze of a bill or trying to garner someone's votes or making them understand what the long-range impact would be of such a policy. So I think it's learning through trial and error that I've been able to kind of maneuver myself around with different decisions affecting, this university.
Mm-hmm. So the political experience you had in the legislature, you found
yes.
useful?
Right. I found useful. And the other part of that is that I had been exposed to the political process since I was small mm-hmm. because in my grandmother's neighborhood, people were always active. About voting, about getting involved, if the trash wasn't picked up, things like that. I mean, when you're poor, you have to be advocates, for other people, of yourself. And also because of my father, who worked with the UAW, and he was a factory worker, and I can remember his committee meetings, and sometimes we'd go with him, and when they would go out on strike, we would go with him, and I thought walking around with a picket sign would just normal. So I kind of grew up with that. And during the time that there was a grape and the lettuce boycotts with the Chavez movement, my family was always very active with that, and it was just natural for me to be involved in issues that address equality and inequality. So the awareness of of political things that caused people either in a positive or a negative way was always part of our learning experience, you know, within my family.
So your father was active in UAW?
Yes, yes, he was active in the UAW. Mm-hmm. My uncle, my brothers worked in the factory too, mm-hmm. so it was, and when I did too, I was a union member. Mm-hmm. And so it was just natural to gravitate towards those issues and of equality and equal rights and equal pay, and that people should have representation and a voice. Mm-hmm.
What since you've become a trustee at Michigan State, what would you say has been your main interest, or several main interests that you can think of that have been issues that have been, you mentioned a few already, but in terms of your actual duties, are there any that you feel that you've really made a contribution?
Well, one of the things that I continue to stress quite strongly is the whole effort of outreach, that we as a decision-making body, in order to make more coherent decisions and policy, we need to be out there. And I had always encouraged the board to go out and do outreach ourselves, that getting away from our comfort zones of the boardroom, where people tend to come to us all the time and everything is at hand. And not everybody knows about the fourth floor administration building on Thursdays and Fridays when we hold our meetings. And especially people who are somewhat disenfranchised from Michigan State University. They see this kind of as an ivory tower way off in East Lansing, and how do you get there? So I was successful in our November meeting in taking our board members to Southwest Detroit, which happens to be one of the more low-income areas in the city, and exposing them to the populations that live there and how is it that they manage on a daily basis, where they live, how they live, where they work, some of their needs. And I think it gave them a whole different perspective, being in Detroit those 2 days. And all my colleagues were just very grateful that I persisted with that issue. And I would tell them, please indulge me. No, this is my last meeting. Let's just go to Detroit. And now they have made that commitment that they will continue to do that. And I think that's important. Outreach is very important. If we don't understand how some of our students live and where they come from, how can we help them once they get here on campus? But mainly, how can we get them here on campus if they don't have the same kind of equal footing as other students do? Mm-hmm. That's been one. Of course, diversity is another one, because of who I am and, again, where I've come from, that many times a person's background and nationality impedes a lot of positive things happening to that individual. And when they get here on campus, what is it that we need to do in order to help that individual succeed?
Are there any specific issues that you've encountered while you were a board member, where this, specifically on the issues of diversity, where you feel that you made a contribution?
Spending time educating individuals about where it is that certain populations live, how they live, and how would they how they value education, and how do the classrooms and the material need to be tailored to meet the needs of those populations is very different from standard mainstream approach. So those kinds of issues I have discussed at great length with different colleges and individuals that are interested in those issues.
Mm-hmm. The issue of retention.
Have
you
support,
had any
yes.
dealings
yeah, and I've worked
with that or interest?
Yes. Yes, and I've worked with the people in admissions to reconfigure what we do and how we do outreach. I mean, we use the word outreach, but I think sometimes that it really needs more work so everyone understands what outreach really means, that you have to leave your office, you have to go out there, you have to actually meet people, shake hands, touch them, talk to them.
Talk to people, yeah.
Yes, and talk to them.
Mm-hmm. Have you, in doing some of this personally yourself, how have people reacted when you've been in that setting?
Well, I think sometimes it comes as a big surprise to think that a board member is actually out there doing these things or takes the time to do it. I think there's this kind of misconception because we're board members that we aren't human, I guess, and that we're not out there trying to beat the bushes and trying to help bring students into Michigan State, or just find, or just having, for me, is having contact with the people that are responsible for me being here. Mm-hmm. And I think it's very important for us as a land grant institution to be connected to our communities. It's very important.
Mm-hmm. Your relationship with the faculty, what have been your main contacts with the faculty members?
Depending on what day it was. I've had contact with almost all the colleges on campus. I usually go to almost all of the events that I'm invited to, because that's another way of conveying to our faculty and to our staff that I really value them. I value the work that they do, the contributions that they make, and besides, I want to get to know them. And I want to know how I can be helpful to them. I mean, so I see it as a two-way street. I mean, I don't want to be treated like this, you know, trustee. I want them to see that Dorothy Gonzalez really cares about them as individuals, and also how can Dorothy Gonzalez help you be, you know, more successful at what you're doing. And if that means you want me to come and talk to students, I will do that. If it's parents, I will do that. You know, those kinds of things. Whether it's orientation or welcome week, I do all of that because I think I believe that's my role.
Mm-hmm. In talking about some of the academic issues, you've mentioned the land grant philosophy several times. What do you see as our priority in maintaining that land grant mission? Or do you see the land grant mission that important as maintaining that?
It's very important to maintain that for the future, because that's what this institution was founded for. Mm-hmm. Those working class families back when, to have the ability and the affordability to send their kids, you know, to Michigan State. And I worry about that sometimes because of tuition increases, although we do have the tuition guarantee. But when you stop to think, you know, $14,000 or $15,000 a year, that's a lot of money to many families. And certainly if we don't find ways to support those families, we're going to start losing that battle to working class individuals and sending their students here to Michigan State.
The tuition guarantee, so you were supportive of that?
Yes.
In the initial?
Yes, right. I have been very supportive of it because, again, trying to cap you know, tuition is a high priority for me. Mm-hmm. I mean, because inflation keeps going up. You know, you want to buy milk, it costs $3 or $4 now, a loaf of bread the same. Mm-hmm. You know, it's you know, what do you sacrifice? You don't want to feed your family in order for them to come to Michigan State. I mean, that's not the way it should be. And mm-hmm. Everybody should have, you know, what they need in support as far as order to eat and live and also get an education.
Mm-hmm. The undergraduate, it's kind of a balance sometimes between undergraduate emphasis toward undergraduate education, graduate education, outreach. Where do you see that balance between, or that interplay between research institution, undergraduate institution, extension work? Is there any way, particular way that you see as the best way, or
all of it impacts on each other. Mm-hmm. It has to be a continuum mm-hmm. across the board. You know, you have to do the outreach in order to get to the families and the student. And I look at it as a family. I don't look at it just as the student, because you are impacting the family mm-hmm. when you're reaching out to the student. And when the student gets here, there has to be certain supports in place to make sure that they succeed. And it goes on down the line. So I see it as a continuum, working together, not, you know, a piece here and a piece there. And the more that we can collectively provide that transition for that student coming in, and if they want to go on to graduate school, if they want to, you know, obtain their doctorate, et cetera, et cetera. We should make that, I guess, a kind of a seamless system in order to do that and to provide those supports.
International study seems to be an area that's emphasized by the current administration. What has been your position on the role of international study at Michigan State?
I think it's been very positive for Michigan State, and it's always good when students can leave their own turf and their safe environment and go elsewhere and to understand how other people live, understand their culture. That's an education in itself, and I think it definitely enhances that student's ability to have a broader view of the world other than just East Lansing and Michigan.
Mm-hmm. That's not all there is?
No. No. But then along with that, I have shared with the president and others, I says, you know, there is a lot of culture here within this country and within this state. And even though maybe some of those students can't go overseas, we should try to make them have a good cultural experience right here in Michigan because of the large Arab American community that we have in mm-hmm. Detroit, the large Hispanic population we have. We still have 7 reservations in Michigan mm-hmm. that are populated by Native Americans. And we have a large Vietnamese, Asian population that is here. And just across the street, we have the Islamic Center. Mm-hmm. You know, and I've asked people before, how many of you have ever gone to the Islamic Center when they send out invitations to come and visit, you know? I mean, we ourselves need to be in-tuned into everything that we try to preach to our students. I think it starts from top to bottom, mm-hmm. and everybody should benefit from that kind of an experience.
Have there been any international trips that you took associated with the university, or not?
I have tried. I have tried, but unfortunately, I have a real job, and I do work. And I'm not old enough to retire, so when I get past that stage, maybe I'll be able to travel, because these trips are usually like 10 days or more, so it makes it very, very difficult for me to be gone.
So you'd have that to vacation time during that
right.
time.
Yeah, yes.
I understand. In talking about some of the issues that you were involved in the board, one obviously was the departure of President DiBiagio in September 1992, and the selection of the new president coincided right with your joining the board. What do you remember about those early meetings or about the selection of President McPherson at that time? Anything you want to
share? Long, lengthy meetings.
Lengthy meetings.
I think the conflict that I had was because I was the only one that believed in the Open Meetings Act. And I wanted things to be more open so that it wouldn't create this whole atmosphere of mistrust and secrecy from board members and the search committee, which was really hard to handle for people because they wanted to, of course, get the best candidate, and people felt they had the right to go behind closed doors, you know, and so I was always outvoted. and then, of course, the names that surfaced in the newspaper at that time just made things even worse. And I kept reverting back to the fact if we had been up front and had, you know, had this discussion open, then it wouldn't have happened. Somebody wanted to leak the names to the paper. But in the final analysis, I think that we made the best decision by hiring the President McPherson. He was definitely, you know, the right choice.
So as you, in the, who was the chair when you were... when you joined the board, do you remember that?
Who was the chair? I think it was Russ Mobby.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The on the issue of President McPherson's leadership, how would you overall assess his leadership in his time since he's been here?
The man must not sleep or eat. Mm-hmm. He's, I think he literally works 24 hours a day. I thought I had terrible hours, but this man beats me far. He really is committed to this university. I have never witnessed that before in a leader here at Michigan State, that he knows everything about the university and he makes it his business to know. And the fact that he's so great on finances, I think, has been such a positive for us. Mm-hmm. He knows where every nickel is in this place. I just really respect and admire his ability to run this university, because he digs in and, you know, he wants to know how things are done and why, and he's part of it. And, you know, you can call over to the office sometimes at 10 o'clock at night and he's still there. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to leave a voicemail and Peter answers the phone. You know? I think he's been very instrumental in getting the university moving forward into the next century.
How would you assess his working relationship with the board?
I think sometimes it's a little touchy. Mm-hmm. I think it can be, because